Welcome to this episode of the Long Haul Chronic Fatigue Summit. I'm so happy to have with me today, Dr. Rob Downey. Dr. Downey, will you please introduce yourself to our audience?
Yes, Dr. Nafisa, thanks for having me. Delighted to do so.
Happy you're here.
I'm a family practice MD in Alaska, and I'm also an Institute for Functional Medicine certified practitioner. I'm 20 years into my conventional career and 14 years into my functional medicine career. And I'm a bit of an outlier compared to a lot of functional medicine docs because my clinic is a department of a nonprofit borough-owned hospital in Alaska. So I see a lot of cases that cover that whole demographic spectrum, young to elderly, everyone. And so I think that cross-section I get to see, including folks that don't have a lot of resources for supplements, for example, has streamlined my approach. So today's a fun opportunity to talk about Keep It Simple Superstar, a way to kind of distill this down for folks that feel like, oh my gosh, this is so important, but I also kind of feel overwhelmed because that's what I'm seeing in my clinic.
Thank you. It's going to be an important conversation because I think there's a lot of complexity to this, and then that's thrown at patients, but they need to be helped. They need to be walked through this journey, and they need that simplicity, especially when there are not enough resources. So I'm just so happy you're doing what you're doing and that you're going to share that with us all.
It's a great, great privilege to get to be with you and to get to work with our participants. So thank you again.
Thank you. So there are a few different types of long COVID. Some authorities have divided long haul by onset, type, and duration of symptoms. How are you seeing it present most in your practice, long haul?
So this is probably, again, an example of something that family practice doctors are classic for, and we could see it as a blessing or a limitation. But given the breadth and depth that we're up against from sort of residency onward, most family practice physicians come up with simplified protocols because very few of us have the photographic memory of Jeff Bland or Kara Fitzgerald. So for me, long COVID is if you're not back to who you were before COVID 3 months later. And admittedly, when I looked at I was talking to Dan Kalish recently, and he's got two different protocols for neuro COVID versus other. So for our participants, I think what I'd like them to know is that as long as you're in the ballpark with things that are well documented to reset the affected mechanisms of the SARS-CoV-2 virus and COVID, the body knows the way. And this, again, is one of the things. And anytime we focus on disease, we don't necessarily know we're doing it, but we forget the fundamental premise you and I learned, which is the body knows the way. We only have to reset a number of these mechanisms and our body can get back to its native vitality. So my protocol is a lot different than Dan Kalish's, and it doesn't differentiate between neuro COVID. It's just, it's for folks that aren't who they were 3 months after. And again, they don't have to have tested positive because these principles are so safe. So that's what I've been doing for about 2.5 years. And this is a protocol developed by the Institute for Functional Medicine around resistance, resilience, and recovery, resistance to getting it, resilience in the face of it, and the best possible recovery.
I love it because that's what brings hope to people, right? Knowing that their body does know the way. All we have to do is fine tune it. They're not broken. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be the same again, but it's not true. We can get people back.
Yeah, the stories out there of folks who are being disabled by this is intimidating. And so people can end up with a little sort of holographic model on the pinup board of their consciousness that they're going to be disabled. And that is sending signaling streams through the body that it's a dark and dire situation. And so those really simple things that almost sound fantastical or silly of just a Polaroid on the pinup board of our consciousness of us well is right. Important. And I should say I had long COVID myself because months 4 and 5 after I had it this summer, mm-hmm. then my energy still wasn't back. And I experienced firsthand this feeling of intimidation of having the virus that, you know, during the first months, seeing what was happening in Italy was so shocking. And we all have so many of these sort of graven images on our consciousness of what can go awry when we're overly vulnerable. So I've been through the journey myself and kind of had to do the same thing I recommend to my patients, which is to say, hey, we've dealt with nasty viruses for millennia. Our body knows how to do this. We just haven't seen this flavor before. And once you get used to the novel flavor of this virus, you can again come full circle back to trusting your strength, use laser targeted mechanisms for reversal, be really artful about what you deploy. And I think today a good thing to talk about also would just be if people are overwhelmed at work or they have a mental, emotional, spiritual dilemma. I think we should briefly at least talk about two cases I've seen that I think are very illustrative of how you can't supplement your way out of a lifestyle deficit and you can't lifestyle your way out of a mental, emotional, spiritual hole. So those might be productive domains also.
Both of those are so correct. Why don't you tell us about the patients?
Yeah, thanks.
Two cases, yeah.
So a lot of my day is folks who are sophisticated. They're really interested in supplements. But I think because those of us living in the United States, we're sort of surrounded by normal that isn't normal. So folks are overworked, they're buried in digital media, et cetera, or they have multiple stressors and they feel like, well, everybody else is this way too. So this must be normal, but it's not. And so one key conversation I had with this heroic person who is in an educator and they were doing all the right things to recover from long COVID. And they were horrified because they weren't getting better. The brain fog was amongst the most terrifying of symptoms for obvious reasons. This kind of this feeling of like, I need to use my brain to get better, but my brain's not working. And I said, you need a work note that you have a medical problem and you need to have a limited number of hours. And so this person was blown away that their doctor would legitimize this phenomenon and take a stand and say to the workplace, and this person ended up using the, federal protections that are available to people who work. So Family Medical Leave Act, et cetera, because they ended up having to really reduce their workload. And now they're 90% back to normal 90% of the time. And the game changer wasn't the supplements. The game changer was too much energy was getting sucked up by work stress. It did not leave enough energy and vitality in that person's bank account to recover.
Right. How important that is.
But yeah.
Right, because you're so right. We are so sucked into our stresses, our devices, having to keep up with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of nonstop. And stress amplifies immune dysregulation.
And it's so inconvenient to have to make changes there. Right. You and I run into this all the time. The person say, they'll say, I'll do anything. And then we say, what about this? And they're like, no, not that.
Right. Anything. Yeah.
The other important one, which blew me away even more, this person was doing all the right things too, but they had some unresolved identity and spiritual clarity issues. And it turned out this person, we had thrown everything in the kitchen sink, supplement wise, meditation wise, restorative practice wise, et cetera. And I would talk to this person and they would be in bed and they were really getting blown away. But it turned out for them, it was really important to work with a faith-based therapist. So again, I always just want people to swim with the current of who they are and what they believe. And this person did neurofeedback with their therapist. And then that was a watershed moment. They were 40% fully recovered within a month. And they were 80% back to pre-COVID status when I spoke to them this week. So one item change, they resolved their mental, emotional, spiritual conflict And then this watershed spill went down through all of the things that all the physiologic pathways that were ready to boot up were pent up waiting for that watershed moment for that person. So we need to be living the life we love and believe in. And if we have unresolved issues there, then a blessing of adversity is that the COVID threat then creates a great teacher for us to figure out maybe we have to take our next spiritual step to be able to get to where we need to be.
Right. Because that's the core of who we are. Our spirit, yeah. that place in us that maybe can't be defined by anybody else but ourselves. Mm-hmm. A place mm-hmm. that we know the most, and that's just aching to be known and aching to experience.
Yeah.
The world, right, through our own yeah. identity. And in community and with yeah. love, with compassion into the world, but towards ourselves as well. That's where it begins. So
what a beautiful articulation. I love what you just said.
I'm not the one. You know, and you're you talked about it being simple, but it's actually the most profound changes that can happen in people. Mm-hmm. It could be mm-hmm. one simple thing that moves it, but that the depth is just so great. And it's really beautiful how you're talking about you can make a simple change and your whole life can open everything you've been waiting for.
I had assumed every thought leader was talking about this, but I'm finding my niche is talking about the things that are right in front of us. And we sort of assume I've got this, I've done that. But then when we challenge ourselves and think about those people we know that are radiant or they're deeply at peace or they're super productive and they make it look effortless, there's these extra dimensions when we manifest it in our own lives. There's a dimension of courage and flow and intuition and sort of a feeling of soaring and being grounded at the same time. And those extra dimensions, when we experience those, it'll feel like, well, I sort of had part of it, but some challenge demanded of me that I take that next step. And so given that I'm not sure it does get talked about enough because it's the power core and it potentiates the lifestyle and the lifestyle potentiates the supplements, I think we should talk about what's happening in the power core of health.
I'm so happy you bring this up because you are correct. This is a topic that not enough people are discussing. You know, it's that we all have that current within us, that intuition, that wisdom. But in the society, I think we've been taught to close it, be a little bit less sensitive,
mm-hmm.
become mm-hmm. a little more numb.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think healers 200, 500, 1,000 years ago were differentiated between the mind and the body and the spirit. And, Jeff Bland, the father of functional medicine, made a really interesting observation that penicillin was this watershed moment where the conventional medical community started to adore one-item solutions for one-item problems, one bug, one drug. And this love affair with an overly simplistic mechanistic approach, treating the body as a machine and dissociating the mind, thinking that the mind's role in the body was unscientific, it's understandable why it happened. And my colleagues who do solely conventional medicine, including my wife, are good-hearted, hardworking people who, because I have both toolboxes now, I have a conventional toolbox and a functional medicine toolbox. I just know that conventional medicine works great for one item problems, brain tumor, bacterial pneumonia, being in the intensive care unit. It doesn't work well for things with complex chronic origins that have a mind, body, spirit mentioned. So I think it's just an issue of picking the right tools.
Right. And so one thing I think about and talk about a lot actually is just this, what you're saying. I just want you to know how much I'm enjoying this right now.
me too. Delighted.
Yeah. You know, I talk about how there's the acute model of care, which is for what you talked about, broken bones, acute bronchitis, heart attacks, where it's one size fits all. In some regards, the human body does have some areas where it can be one size fits all in those acute issues. But then when we bring in the individuality of each patient, the spirit, the genes, how those combine and create biochemistry that's unique to each individual, and then how infections or environmental toxins, all the things we've discussed have come in and expressed differently in each person. The acute model of care doesn't support chronic imbalances, not at all. And that's where doctors like you and I come in, because we have our tools and our own way of being. I can tell you've done a lot of your own internal work too, or else you wouldn't be speaking at this level. I know you have, and I just met you.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's conceivable you could see a lung doctor who smokes, but it's not very conceivable you could see a functional or naturopathic or integrative or holistic provider who isn't walking the path. There isn't that resonance to convey the message if we're not on our own adventure of understanding that.
Right. Right. And so it's such an honor to bring that to the patients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it circles back again to hope, because the best hope is legitimate hope. Mm-hmm. The best hope is your body does have this. Your spirit does know the way. It looks far off because it's so intimidating to have the symptoms, but it's like a chapter in your story. And then you'll look back on that as that dramatic chapter where the heroine was dangling from the precipice, right? I mean, it's meant, that story is meant to be intense and get your attention, but it's not the end of the story.
Right. So what do you tell your patients when they're feeling overwhelmed by the complexity? How do you bring them back home to themselves?
Well, I talk to them about how, again, we are built to deal with new threats, viruses, bacteria, et cetera. We're built for this, we've done it forever. But then I say the novel thing about SARS-CoV-2 and COVID is that it's such a simple objective the virus is trying to achieve. It wants to replicate and move on. And so the irony is that if we think of a lot of viruses are like a teenager stealing a candy bar from the gas station, they just put it in their pocket and walk out. Objective achieved. SARS-CoV-2 throws a Molotov cocktail in. Mm-hmm. And then doesn't care what happens at the gas station after they leave with that candy bar. So it's a shocking international diplomacy, they talk about a measured response. Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't send a battalion of tanks in because one soldier straight across the border. But again, SARS-CoV-2 is a completely incommensurate response relative to the need of the virus to move on. So inflammation, oxidative stress, immune dysregulation, that trinity puts the body off track. And we can think about this as a disaster zone. So things have been blown up and, you know, bleached and withered by oxidative stress, and the immune dysregulation is sort of lack of coordination on the part of the teams that need to get the job done. So in disaster zones, if we just come in and leave a box of food here, say a kind word to a person there, et cetera, those are well-intentioned acts, but they don't recreate the fundamental orchestration in the disaster zone to get back on track. Mm-hmm. So I think the elegance in the Institute for Functional Medicine model and other elegant models is that the body only needs a certain number of resets in these critical domains, and then the homeostasis reboots and the person's back on track, they're improving. And thankfully there's a lot of protocols that do this, but there are also a lot of protocols that don't, because if the person's sort of shotgunning and a little of this and a little of that, they may not hit critical mass for their resources to come together and create this reset effect. So my hope for people is to each step they take with supplements, presuming mentally, emotionally, spiritually, they're squared away, they manage their stress, they connect with their peeps, they eat whole food, they sleep, and they move. Mm-hmm. Then I just encourage them to think about every time they take a supplement step, try to make sure it addresses this triad of oxidative stress, immune dysregulation, and inflammation, because each iteration, then they're covering the trinity, And then they can give it 2, 4, 6, 8, 12 weeks, see what happens, add another Trinity. I think it's a very incremental, reasonably simple approach. And if we have time, I'd be happy to talk about how the IFM protocol, the actual, you know, things in that that do that. But I think that's a nice keep it simple superstar way to work that's been really helping my patients. And the ones who feel overwhelmed, then they can get their arms around that a little more easily.
Definitely. Let's talk about the details of the IFM protocol. Yeah.
Go Supers. Ahead. So one really fun one to do right off the bat is vitamin C. And so if we had to make an argument for a single agent, then vitamin C is one of these team members that many of us know is important. But when we hear how important it is, it could even drift up to number one because it's an antioxidant. It's an immune, beneficial immunomodulator that always pushes the right direction. So it's a tonic. And then what a lot of folks haven't heard, and I hadn't heard until 5 years ago, is the anti-inflammatory pathways in the body are recharged by vitamin C. And fourth, it's an adrenal support. So now the fatigue that comes with COVID is being addressed as well. So 1 or 1.5 grams of vitamin C twice a day, often buffered so that people's stomachs can tolerate it. That step alone meets the Trinity criteria for a first step.
And it makes sense. People actually, when they start taking vitamin C, if they haven't before, they do very often start to notice a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Then the second step is the trinity of zinc carnosine, NAC or glutathione, and curcumin. And that team's worth talking about. If people take zinc, which is a beneficial immunomodulator, I figure they might as well take zinc carnosine so they get some gut barrier integrity protection. I usually like people to have a good quality multivitamin in place. So there's a little trace copper to balance the zinc. I find people typically don't need to measure zinc copper levels necessarily if they have a trace source of copper and a good quality zinc. The NAC is a great supplement, both as a beneficial immunomodulator and an antioxidant. Some people genetically don't turn NAC into glutathione very well. So people want to hedge their bet and invest in liposomal or other bioavailable glutathions. I think that's a really defensible, clever thing to do. And then curcumin is so fascinating as an anti-inflammatory because it's one of the very few nutraceuticals or botanicals that works at the same level mechanistically as prednisone. It down-regulates NF-kappa-B at the nuclear level in the cell. And so people can have watershed decreases in systemic inflammation that are profound without the side effects of prednisone. And more importantly, there's no distortion in the, if we say the body's already has distortions in it from SARS-CoV-2 or COVID, curcumin is in theory the perfect anti-inflammatory because it turns down the heat without further distorting the signaling. So that's a nice second step triad. And if people are all fired up, they can do 1 or 2, 3 steps of these triads all at once. Or, you know, if they've got as much money as Oprah Winfrey or Bill Gates, they can do all of them. I mean, they're safe together, but I kind of like people to do enough to get on an improving trend. And then that typically holds. So I've had folks get better with just those two steps.
Great, great. And triads of supplements. Can you talk about how those triads can clarify people's thinking?
I think just the example, the counter example would probably be the person goes out, they get their hands on good quality data. And so they're enamored of 4 supplements, but they're all anti-inflammatories. Mm-hmm. And so only one of the 3 things that gets hammered by COVID and SARS-CoV-2 is being addressed. And so even though they're stacking 5 anti-inflammatories, often those folks won't get better because inadvertently they've left the immune dysregulation and the oxidative stress unaddressed. Mm-hmm. And so I think if each step is anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, immunoregulatory, people get better quicker, their supplements pack more punch. It's also worth noting that, again, what you and I are describing can sound simple, but IFM faculty chose these things for this protocol because mechanistically These go to exactly the physiologic step that gets hammered. And as I see people get better, my clinical intuition is that part of what the body struggles with is that these are, again, the equivalents of wreckage in a disaster zone. These are like apartment buildings that have been flattened, or places that have been on fire, or places where people need somewhere to live. The body is really sort of horrified that the ACE receptor door got kicked in and left open for the virus to get in. And there's these cascades downstream. So of the hundreds of things people could take, I like them to take things we know have mechanistic resets, because there's something that appears to be very satisfying to the body of correcting exactly the area that got hammered. And that's why I use that disaster zone motif, because we need to create places for people to live, ways for them to communicate, feel safe, be fed. We need to go to exactly the root of the problem for that area of the country to get a reset. Uh-huh. And if we're just sort of marching around willy-nilly, it's well-intentioned, but it's not necessarily going to hit critical mass for a reset.
Right, right. Thank you. That's great. This is very helpful. Some great tools for people. I want to take it back to why can't supplement their way out of a lifestyle deficit. So the supplements are important as long as you have the right ones, the ones that are addressing those three and then are addressing your needs at the right time. But let's go, let's take it back to the importance of lifestyle.
Great, great. I spend a lot of my time trying to have the five domains of lifestyle be as fresh as possible. So I find that folks that do what you and I do, one of, I think, our most important, all the teachers that ever affected me made an idea fresh. So my history teacher in high school made the Civil War interesting, because he made it real for me. He would tell a story from, he'd start a class talking about the story of one person in the, on the lines, or one homemaker. And I have found that more so than many of us would think, even the, like if we think about the five lifestyle domains and we say one of them is exercise, and then Institute for Functional Medicine names it movement so that we don't hit that stigma of exercise, which many people find intimidating or prescriptive.
Right.
But even movement can feel like, okay, what is that? Uh-huh. So then if we say, well, it's play. Uh-huh. When you were a kid on your bike, when you were a kid jumping in the swimming hole, you were moving joyfully. It was intuitive. And your body and spirit said, I dig this. Let's go swimming again tomorrow.
Yeah.
So then we also are giving people categorical listen to their body instructions, so that a great way to recover from long COVID is to dance in the kitchen.
I love it.
While you chop your carrots. Uh-huh. You just move a little while you're chopping your carrots, because a lot of folks don't have any energy to do more than that. Mm-hmm. That's play. Mm-hmm. And it's good for the immune system. It's good for the adrenals. It sends that signal of safety, which categorically has a, if you look at the dose to benefit ratio of 5 minutes of dancing in the kitchen, it's off the chart, because it breaks the doom cycle.
Right.
While you're dancing, you're not freaked out about whether you're going to ever get back to work or whether your marriage is going to go underwater. And all these lifestyle domains, social connection, I describe as people, connect with your peeps. Whole food, I describe as plants, lots of brightly colored plants, the above the ground part more so than the under the ground part, so that people don't freak out about whether they're paleo or vegan or vegetarian or keto. Just eat lots of colorful plants. Sleep's a biggie. I think folks don't realize they're doom scrolling or Netflixing, into the wee hours in the night at the expense of their immune system. And then for stress management, I just want people to reflect on being at peace. I want them to just ask themselves, what puts me at peace? Is it watching the bird feeder? Is it listening to the sound of moving water? Is it chatting with my friend? Is it playing games with my grandkid? It's different for everybody, but that state of peace is elusive right now, and it's mission critical, because that's our native design, is to be at peace. And if we forget that, again, we're sort of lost.
Isn't it true? I love that. I love what you're bringing up for lifestyle, because these are the things that are often forgotten, especially the part that we're designed for peace. Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. so much. I mean, there's war going on in this world. There's wars going on in the philosophy of medicine, or battles at home, and so we're faced with these call them battles all over mm-hmm. the place. But our spirit does not mm-hmm. want that. We're not designed for that. So to find it internally, to do all these things you're talking about, to bring it home within, and then we mm-hmm. can walk with it and have that ripple effect of changing the world, each one of us, if we find our own inner peace.
I think it's so great that we can make the difference we want to make in the world by being at peace. And so there's a folks can, and I struggled with this for a bit, they can struggle with feeling like, well, if I'm not fighting, I'm not doing anything. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of the wisest people of our time and of all times have made a really compelling argument that one of the best things we can do for the world is live a state of peace in the midst of the chaos, what Jon Kabat-Zinn would call full catastrophe living. Mm-hmm. And it's that type of living is kind of a tall glass of water to a person thirsty in the desert. And even objectively, there's plenty of folks fighting. I mean, even if fighting does need to happen, that part appears to be pretty well covered right now. So just if we look statistically at where maybe we can get a little more yield, a little more traction, I think that message that we can have integrity and speak our truth, but do it in a peaceful fashion, right, is a coherence with the fundamental nature of the spirit. The biggie for me has been that I think about hunter-gatherers, and when you imagine what it would be like for the majority of them, it's 8 to 9 miles a day of gathering out in nature. It's preparing food together. It's singing. It's telling stories. It's making babies. It's laughing. It's goofing around. It's playing games. And then the outlier stuff are the close calls with wild animals, the rock slides, the occasional famine. But basically, it's an abundance, peace, interconnected, coherent narrative. And we have hunter-gatherer genetics and physiology. And so we can either work in harmony with that, or we can spend our time sort of swimming against the current of that. But we have that physiology and that birthright, regardless.
We absolutely do. It is our birthright, and we're made for that. It's in our genes, it's in our spirits to live that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Now that I do that more and more, so for me, I really, really watch the dose of the news.
Yeah.
And that's turned out to be a really big deal. And so then I give myself the consolation that I am making a difference in the world, but I'm not even really that well. I learned this year, there's a 99% likelihood I'm an empath, where I not only have compassion for people, but I actually feel what they're feeling. And apparently about 1 in 5 of us is that way. So higher statistically, I think, amongst people that choose the healing professions. And mm-hmm. so empaths, kind of like many, if it were a superhero in the Marvel Comics universe, uh-huh. empaths, their superpower is their strength and their vulnerability, because we can burn out very easily in response to suffering. Mm-hmm. And so again, that might only affect 20% of our audience, but just folks reflecting on, what's my dose capacity for connecting with suffering. And even the irony, if we watch too much of the news, then do we have enough left to be kind to the checkout clerk? Right. So I think there's some ironies in all of this, but especially I think our spirit, I find my sense of hope immediately rebounds when I decrease my dose of the news.
Yeah, mine does too.
So I feel like I know enough about what's going on to be an informed citizen, but I've just repeatedly overdosed. My wife always looks at me like, again, you're running this experiment again. And I'm like, no, baby, I'm a dose right now.
I'm working on my inner peace, yeah. And you bring that home, you bring that to her.
Yeah.
To your patients.
Yeah. Yeah. Really important. And a good good news that we can make a difference and look at our dose of media consumption, immersion in social media, you know, how much we carry that into the evening, et cetera. I also have found books are sort of a, my wife's great about pretty much everything she listens to is, food for the soul. Uh-huh. So she's a real inspiration in my life. And so yesterday I was doing my physical therapy for recovery from a shoulder problem. And I listened to the Audible version of Gabor Mate's new book about trauma called The Myth of Normal, rather than listening to political and social disarray. And I found it nourishing and I was in a flow state and I felt like I'd had a tasty little meal after I was done rather than that I had eaten, half a gallon of caramel corn. So
right.
Just listening to our bodies, listening to our spirits.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you so much. It's been such a great interview. I'm really enjoying getting to know you and enjoying you as a human being and what you're bringing to your patients.
Mm. Thank you. Likewise. Yeah, I get to meet my tribe and everywhere I've worked has been isolating. So this means the world to me to get to spend this time with you. Thanks for all the light you bring and for this summit, which is going to make a difference in the lives of so many people that need it.
Thank you. Thank you for everything you're doing, for being here.